Amen. Could I have the kids that are going to be going to kids' Bibles? I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 16. Just want to share a few words about giving. And I want to ask you this question. Can you pass the stewardship test? All right, Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. Jesus was talking of this parable of a steward here, and then he says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon," that phrase, unrighteous mammon, is really speaking of money. That word mammon refers to money. So he said, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So I heard one person say that money is simply a magnifier. It will magnify what is already there. Amen? He says in verse 12, "And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And actually, mammon should serve you. It's a tool. Amen? And then go with me to Acts chapter 5. And I want you to see just an example here of how money magnified covetousness. All right? Acts chapter 5, verse 1. "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and he brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." At that time, they were people who had lands and houses and different things. They would sell them, and then they would distribute that to the apostles, and God did a miracle, because in that atmosphere, the Bible says no one lacked. They shared everything. Money is simply magnifying what is already there. And then verse 3, so they had planned to keep a part of what they had for themselves. Is there anything wrong with keeping part of it? No, but if you say one thing and do another, you know, that's not a good thing. Because notice what happened, verse 3. "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" How many know that you can't outsmart God? Amen? He knows everything. "And has kept back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart?" Notice, money already magnified what was already there. All right? "You have not lied to men, but to God." And how many would like to be in a service where someone drops dead? And then they pick up the dead man, carry him out. Then a few hours later, his wife comes in, and she is called on the carpet. "Did you sell it for this amount?" "Yes." "Is this the amount that you're going to give?" "Yes." Boom. She lied too. How many know that it's not good to lie? So I want you to be a good steward and be faithful in that which is least. How do you be faithful? You give in tithes. Tithe belongs to God. And then above that is offerings. Amen. And what will God do? He will bless you. He'll protect you. He'll open the windows of heaven. And so anytime during our service, we can receive our tithes and offerings in that wooden container at the back. Father, we just ask you to bless every giver, bless every gift. And we thank you, Lord, that it is designated for your kingdom and for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. That's just a little sermon within a sermon. Now let's get to the meat of the word. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And we're going to read, we'll begin with verse 31. You know, we have been focusing on the theme this month. Every month we have a theme. And this month we have been focusing on reaching our region and beyond. And all of our sermons are recorded. All of our sermons are available online for free. You can log on to our website and listen to them. That's just to bless you. But our effectiveness in reaching our region comes from our obedience to God's word. If we do not obey what God says, we will not be effective in the least. Amen? And, you know, the prophet told Saul, he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. God would rather have you obey his word than to do than to give up anything in a form of a sacrifice. Obedience is better in God's eyes. And so we have to live our lives according to what God said. When you come to Christ, you now have a different set of principles that govern your thoughts, your words, and your actions, and it's called the Word of God. It's called the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And God wants us to live according to the Word. In verse 31 of John chapter 8, it said, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him," so he's talking to believers, those that put their trust in him, he said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." So what's a distinguishing characteristic of a disciple? One who what? Abides in the word. How do you know if you're abiding in the word? Well, if the word abides in you. You know that you've been hanging around the word, you've been dwelling in the word, you've been getting it in you, and that is the key that makes you a disciple. Amen? Is it easy to get the word in you? Sometimes it is. Do you always feel like sitting down and reading your Bible? No. Don't you just wish you could just put your, you could just touch it and you could get it through osmosis, you know? And but it doesn't happen that way. I remember one of my minister friends in Illinois, he would always fall asleep when he was reading his Bible. So you know what he did? He would sit on the edge of his bathtub and he would read the word. That way he couldn't fall asleep. But you know what? That paid off because one day he was in a motorcycle accident and he slid 60 feet on the pavement and he got up to his feet and he was quoting scripture. And he's a pastor today, and he was a contractor who was afraid of heights. And you know how he overcame? He would just climb up the ladder on purpose to overcome that fear. But because he took time to put that word in him, it paid off in protecting him when things happened. Amen? You got to put money into your account in order to draw it out. Otherwise, you'd be overdrawn. And if you don't put the word in you, when you need it, you're going to be overdrawn. In other words, you won't have anything there to draw on. So he's talking to believers. He said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now, if you abide, then you shall know the truth. So there's first comes abiding, then comes discipline, then comes knowing. Amen? It's on different levels. And he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth that you know. Because if you don't know it, you can't use it. Is that right? If I didn't know that I had $10,000 in the bank, I couldn't use it, could I? I've heard of stories where people died of malnutrition, but yet in their house they would find money, several thousand dollars of money that were hidden in different places that they could have used to feed themselves, but yet they didn't know it was there. Maybe they forgot it, and they died of malnutrition. So he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free, but in order to know it, you got to abide in it. In order to abide in it, it's going to take discipline, because he's talking to disciples. Amen? Now go down to verse 47. Verse 47, he said, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. He was talking to the Pharisees who, they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Matter of fact, they thought that he was full of devils. They thought that he was a Samaritan. They called him all kinds of names. And they just didn't believe. But I want you to notice, he who is of God hears God's word. Say, I hear God's word. What happens when you hear God's word? Faith comes. The Bible says faith comes by what? By hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. It didn't say faith comes by having heard. That means you're going to have to be, you're going to have to experience some repetition. Amen. You got to hear. You got to hear today. You got to hear tomorrow. You got to hear the next day. Hearing, not having heard. Now go with me to John chapter 2. All right. John chapter 2. We're going to spend a lot of time in John today. John chapter 2. And there's a story here of when Jesus was invited to a wedding. And it appears that his mother may have had some part to play in the wedding, because verse 1 says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. How many know it's good to invite the Lord to your wedding? Amen? He better be the center of it. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Now, I find this interesting. So she must have had some part in the wedding, because she knew that they ran out of wine and she was going to solve that problem. So she goes to Jesus and she said, they ran out of wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. But you know what? Mary was a woman of faith. And she wasn't too moved by circumstances, so she just took Jesus' word, and she turned to the servants, and verse 5 is the key. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to do to you, do it. Now, you would not tell someone that unless what he would say would blow your mind, or unless what he was about to say would contradict any natural limitation or circumstance. You don't tell someone whatever he says, do it, unless he was about to say something that was just off the charts. Right? Amen? So, you know, she didn't listen to Jesus. She didn't bother that it's not his time. She knew who he was. She knew where he came from. She knew that he had a divine assignment and that he was the Son of God, and that if he wanted to interrupt natural laws, he could at any time. Amen? Did you know that the Word of God is supernatural? It has the ability to be above natural law. It can interrupt natural law at any time and do whatever it needs to do. It's not natural for men to walk on water, but Jesus did. So did Peter. And he wasn't even the Son of God, was he? But he got out there. For a brief moment, he turned into his fishing pole for a surfboard. Amen? And Peter got out of the boat and was hanging 10. So there was something about what Jesus says. Now, you don't have to turn there, but John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is that correct? Verse 14 says, we beheld him, we beheld the Word, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the Son of God. So could you say that the Word and Jesus are synonymous? Can you say that? Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. So everything that the Word says, it's as if Jesus is talking to you. Can you say amen? See, when you do what the Word says to do, you can expect God's power to cause miracles to come into being that weren't there before. But it's your belief, it's your trust in, and it's your action on the Word that makes the difference. Whatever he says, do it. Whatever he says, do it. You got to prepare yourself. That means he might say something that may not make you feel comfortable. He didn't say whatever makes you feel comfortable. He says whatever he says. You know, we have to exalt the Word above our feelings. Amen? We have to control our feelings through the filter of the Word. We can't have it the other way around. When you're asked to do something, you can't, well, I don't feel like it. Or, I like it, I don't feel led. Well, I could give you a couple sinkers, you know, if you want to feel some lead. So here's Jesus at this wedding. Now there was, verse 6, now there were 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, now they're going to have to follow the instruction. And remember, Mary prepared them, whatever he says, do it. Fill the water pots with water. But Jesus, they don't need water, they need wine. Well, are you going to do what he says do or not? Or are you going to try to reason or analyze what the word says? Well, no, Jesus, they don't need wine, so why should I put in water? Do what he says, period. Say this, say, I'm going to do what he says. So he told them to fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. How many know that if you fill it to the brim, you can't hide what's inside? Isn't that true? They filled it all the way to the top. And so he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast or the host. Now, how'd you like to be that servant? Knowing that you just put water in that water pot because Jesus said it. And you got to now take that. That's called faith. You got to take some of that and give it to the host, hoping that it's going to become wine. Jesus didn't say it was going to turn into wine, did he? He just said, fill the water pots with water. You don't have to know every detail. You just have to follow the instruction. Amen? Because those who believe in God hear his word, right? And if you're a true disciple, you're going to have the word abiding in you. So you're going to have to be hearing the word on a continual basis. Because we're never to stop being a disciple, are we? Oh yeah, I spent 20 years as a disciple. I'm going to retire now. No, there's no retirement from being a disciple. Not until you graduate and go to heaven. So if we're still here, you haven't arrived yet. Amen? Neither have I. But we're going, amen? So, verse 9, when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine when the guests have well drunk, but then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This is the beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed him. See how the disciples believed him. They did what the word said do, and it produced faith. When did that water become wine? In the time from when they drew it out to the time they brought it to the host, it became wine. Because as far as they knew, they drew out water. Isn't that what the Bible said? You know? And it wasn't based on the servant's faith. It was based on the word of God, which they were told. And as they followed that instruction, as they did what the word said do, a miracle happened. And God will take your water, and he'll turn it into wine, and he'll make it the best tasting wine. See, wine is more potent than water. And that's what God wants to do with your life. He wants to take the pot of water and he wants to transform it by putting himself in it, and he wants to bring a good taste to your life. Amen? Because some of you may have had a bad taste of life. Maybe you had a bad experience. You know, when you know the reaction when someone drinks a cup of coffee that's been sitting out on the table and it's lukewarm? Yeah, exactly. Some of you are making that face already. It doesn't taste good. But you know what? The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. What I want to gear your mind to today is obeying the instruction of the Lord no matter what. No matter how you feel, no matter what other people think, no matter what other people's opinion, will you obey the word? That is the true test of discipleship. You want to reach our region, you got to do what the word says to do. Amen? So Jesus changed the outcome. By doing what Jesus said, a miracle occurred that changed. You know, I don't know how long it takes for juice to ferment into wine. Probably a few days, probably a couple weeks. I don't know. I've never made wine. But how many know that the word of Jesus sped up that process? And he took water. He didn't even take juice. He took water. He took something, and he made it into something else through his word. And that's what God wants to do with your life. He wants to allow you to use his word to change the circumstances into something better. Amen? Go with me to verse 22. Well, let's go to verse 19. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees because they wanted him to show him a sign. They said, "What sign do you show us?" You know, faith doesn't come by seeing. Amen? Let me say that again. Faith doesn't come by seeing. I'll give you an example. How many of the Israelites who were delivered from Egypt, they saw some signs, didn't they? They saw how God delivered Egypt from, or how God delivered Israel from Egypt. They saw the plagues that they did. But how many know when they left, a lot of them didn't have faith? Faith doesn't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Only the word of God can produce faith in your life. And only that faith will cause us to reach our region and beyond. So Jesus answered and said to them, verse 19, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" They had no clue what he was talking about. Because you know why? They did not abide in the word. See, when you abide in the word, you will recognize when God speaks about something. You will begin to become familiar with the way God speaks and what he's talking about. And you'll be able to recognize when God speaks about something spiritual versus something natural. Amen? Verse 20, they said it will take 46 years. Verse 21, "But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead," and I want you to pay notice to this, "his disciples remembered that he had said." Say they remembered what he said. And as a result of remembering what he said, they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So they heard the word of God, and when he rose from the dead, then they believed what he had, they remembered what he said, and that produced faith in their hearts. Amen? All right. Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And let's go down to verse 39. Now, Jesus was impressed to go to Samaria. He felt an urgency and importance. He said, "It's necessary that I go to Samaria." And when he was in Samaria, he saw a woman at the well. I'm just using this as an example. And Jesus began to sat down, and he began to have a conversation. And he began to witness to her. Isn't it amazing how he just struck up a conversation, but he was actually witnessing? Did you know that witnessing is just having a conversation? Amen? It's the most easiest thing that you can, and then you just turn your conversation to the Lord. But he began talking about water, and he began to speak some things to this woman that caused some things. She recognized him as a prophet. Now look at verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him." Why? "Because of the word, the woman who testified, 'He told me all I ever did.'" Can you imagine a woman going into a city and saying, "Come hear a man who told me everything I ever did," and half the town comes out to hear them for themselves. Now, she just shared her testimony. She just shared what Jesus did for her, and it sparked an interest in others. Now, this woman had a reputation. You know, she had five men in her life. The man she was currently living with wasn't her husband. She's had five other husbands. And so she probably had a reputation. But I want you to see that they believed because of the word which she said, speaking of Jesus. So when you tell someone about Jesus, they can get faith. Amen. Now notice what happened. Verse 40. When the Samaritans had come to him, notice they came to him, they came to Jesus, they came to the word for themselves. They urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed, say many more believed, because of his own word. Now you can believe by hearing the word from someone else, but it's much better to hear the word for yourself. Don't just take what I say about it. Don't just take what someone else says about it, but get into the word for yourself and hear a word from God for yourself. Read what the word says. You know, the Bereans, in Acts 17, Paul came up to the group of Bereans and he said they were more honorable. Why? Because they searched out the scriptures daily to see what Paul was saying was true. When you're out witnessing, don't be quoting what your pastor said. Tell him what Jesus said. Amen? Now, what I say might be correct, but I'm not the source. Jesus is the source. I'm just a messenger. You ought to be quoting Jesus. Amen? You ought to be quoting what the word says. That's where the power is. That's where the anointing is. The anointing is in the word of God. And many more believed. Because of his own word. They got the word for themselves directly from the source. Amen? They said to the woman, verse 42, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." When they heard the words that Jesus spoke, or when they heard the word for themselves, they had faith to believe that he was Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. They had faith to be saved. They had faith that was put in their hearts from them hearing the word of God. Why do you think we emphasize the word here so much? Do you know that there are a lot of places in Christianity that do not emphasize the word? They emphasize other things, intellectualism, other things. But we want to emphasize the word here. Amen? You know, the Bible says when you desire the sincere or the pure milk of the word, what's going to happen? It says that you may grow thereby. Did you know that there is something? Would you rather drink water from, let me tell you this. When I was in New Zealand, we went through this park in Rotorua, New Zealand. And it had a spring in this park. And the spring was 50 feet deep. And you could see all the way to the bottom, the water was 99.9% pure. And it would generate, I forget how many gallons this spring generated a day. But it resulted in a small stream that would flow throughout there. And you know what I did? I had a plastic cup and I took some of that water. And boy, that was some good tasting water. How many know that pure vanilla is better than imitation vanilla? Amen? I get a kick out of some of the boxes of food. They say artificial and natural flavors. Well, if you got artificial in there, it's no longer natural. You got a mixture. I like the real stuff. Amen? I like the pure stuff. I don't want no imitation. You got to get it real. You got to get the genuine. Amen? And based on what Jesus said, it produced faith in them. All right, let's go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 31. It says, "He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. When you receive the testimony of the Word of God, you are certifying that God is true. That way, no matter if you have a sickness or if you have a lack in your life, and you speak the Word and you do what the Word says, what the Word says is going to prevail. You know, Jesus, when he walked this earth, he never prayed for healing. It was always a command. Rise up, pick up your bed and walk. That's not a suggestion, that's a command. Why? Because it is the Word talking. It is the supernatural voice of God. It can interrupt natural laws anytime He wants to. Amen? He can transform circumstances. He can change things. He can remove roadblocks. You can even speak to mountains and command them to be removed, as long as you do not doubt in your heart but believe what you say. How many believe that that's possible? You can remove mountains. He's talking about obstacles that stand in your way from getting what you need and want and desire. You know, the enemy likes to make mountains out of molehills, doesn't he? He'll try to make... See, all the enemy is a liar. All he can do is make himself appear bigger than what he really is. He can only make himself look bigger than what he really is because he's a liar. And you can either choose to believe the lie or you can choose to believe the Word, which is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. So when you receive the testimony of the Word, you are certifying that God is true. You are saying God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. That means when symptoms invade your body, you can either get in agreement with the symptoms or you can get in agreement with the Word. Now, which is going to change your circumstance? If you agree with your symptoms, is your circumstance going to change? You know what we do as humans? We take ownership of my sickness. This is my sickness. My illness. This is my illness. Really? Well, you better tell them they got the wrong house. I wouldn't take ownership of it. Those symptoms are operating illegally in you. They are trespassing. Why? Because as much as Jesus made a way for salvation, he also made a way for healing. Amen? So you got to certify what is the truth. And look at verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give him the spirit by measure. So isn't that interesting that Jesus speaks the Word of God? Well, he is the Word, so when he speaks the Word, he's just talking about himself. Amen? Let's go to John chapter 4 once again. And look at verse 46. There's a story here about a royal official's son. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee. What did Jesus do in Cana? He turned water into wine. Which miracle was that in his ministry? First one. Do you think that people talked about what happened at that wedding? Do you think that there were more people there than Mary who knew that they ran out of wine and who knew what the servants did? I can just imagine those servants. I can't believe it. We took that water and we gave it to the host and it became wine. It was the most amazing thing. They got so excited that they were probably telling people. I bet this official heard that testimony of what Jesus did because he's in Cana. Come on now. How many know Jesus would tell his disciples, don't tell anybody, but you know what? They would go out and tell people, wouldn't they? Did Jesus have a couple people following him, or was crowds following him? The Bible talks about his fame grew, and everywhere he went, there was, at one time, there were so many people touching Jesus, and he said, he touched me. The disciples were like, what? You see all these people touching you, and you ask who's touching you? Come on now. He had people around him, because I'll tell you what, the truth will attract attention. Come on. When you grab hold of the truth, you will get the attention of the world. Elijah, he grabbed hold of the truth. He faced the prophets of Baal and he won. Because God is the God who answers by fire. He took the truth and stood up for what was right, and God got his back. God was right there with him. He would not let him be defeated. Okay. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. All right? So he's a royal official. He has a high position, but yet his son is sick. Okay? When he heard, say he heard. What did he hear? He heard that Jesus had come. He heard the word was there. He heard the message, the divine messenger was there. Boy, something happens when you hear the word. Amen? Out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him. How many know that when you have a problem, the first place you ought to go to is the word? Amen? You ought to find out what God says about it before you do or say anything. That way, you're not saying something that is contrary to what God said. Get God's perspective first. Because you might look at it and you might speak the circumstance. Let me just take a moment here. 12 spies went into the land of Cana, right? They spied out the land for 40 days. All of them saw the same thing. They saw the land, they saw the buildings, they saw the giants, right? 10 of them came back and said, oh, there's giants in the land. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. We are like grasshoppers in our sight. We're just a little itty bitty grasshopper. But 2 of them said, we are well able to take the land. Who won? Well, that negative, the Bible calls that what the 10 spies spoke, an evil report. See, because they did not have God's perspective before they spoke. They did not believe in their heart, therefore they should have just shut up. You know, when you're not to the point of believing yet, don't say anything. Amen? Just wait and meditate in the Word until faith comes to your heart and then speak out of faith. See, too many times we don't speak in faith. We speak out of faith. And the Bible says that every idle word that we speak, we're going to be justified or condemned by. Really? Yeah. Anyway, so you got to get God's perspective first. So this nobleman, he came, when he heard the word was there, he came to the word. All right, he came to Jesus. Jesus and the word are the same. Are you with me? Okay. And he implored him to come down and to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, unless he knew that Jesus healed, he wouldn't ask him to come and heal, but he must have knew that he healed. Amen? Then Jesus said, say Jesus said. Remember what Mary said? Just do what he says. Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. That was an opportunity for that nobleman to really see what he believed. He could have gotten discouraged by that statement. But you know what? How many know that faith hangs in there? Faith is persistent. Faith will not quit. Faith will stand until it sees it, until it has the answer. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. Now, here's evidence that this nobleman believed. So the man believed the word. Say, he believed the word. That Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. He had to walk from that place knowing that God's word is true. He didn't have Jesus touch him. He didn't have anybody praying. All he had was the spoken word that Jesus said, your son lives. And he had to go trusting what Jesus said. He had to make his way back home, only putting his faith in what Jesus said. Is what Jesus said sufficient for your situation? Yes, it absolutely is. God's word is more than enough. It is sufficient. It can handle anything. It is big enough. It is strong enough. It is powerful enough. There's nothing that can take the word of God by surprise. verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." They repeated the very same thing that Jesus said. That was the evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That man didn't see, he couldn't see his son because he was apart from his presence. All he had was the word. He had to keep his focus on the word. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." The very moment when that word was spoken out, power went into that son and changed that sickness to life, changed him from being the point of death into life, and totally healed him and made him whole. Simply at that very same, when Jesus spoke that word, that moment. That's powerful. That is powerful. Come on now. And he himself believed, and his whole household. Say his household. That he had to go there in faith. He had to keep his faith when he got there. He couldn't think about the circumstances. He couldn't think about his son's condition, because now he had a word that could change that condition. He had to go by the word, not by what he had thought previously. Before he came to Jesus, he said, "My son is at the point of death." But when he left Jesus' presence, he had to walk in the fact, knowing that his son lives. Say this, say, "My family lives." If you're praying for family members, you got to see what God says about them, and you got to walk in that. Irregardless of what the circumstance says, irregardless of what they do and say, you walk in that. You know, one day, Jesus approached Peter, and he said, "Peter, Satan desires to sift you." He said, "But I have prayed that your faith fail not, and when you return." So Jesus, and he even told Peter, he said, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." This was after he had prayed that prayer. Jesus still had to walk in the faith of that prayer. He said, "When you return." And Peter, sure enough, he denied him. The rooster crowed. He felt the guilt and the shame. He wept bitterly. He repented. When Jesus met him on the shore, Peter jumped into the water, and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter, at that moment, returned to the Lord. The faith of Jesus' prayer took place, came to pass on that shore when Peter came back and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, I do." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, I do. Feed my sheep." And it was at that moment that that prayer came to pass. So you got to walk in confidence with what the Word says. And there will be many things along the way to shake your confidence from what God said. But you have to determine in your heart that what the Word says is enough, is able to do that which it said it will do. Amen? And just as exactly as Jesus said, occurred. Because now that man, he could have stayed there begging Jesus, "Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal my son. Heal my son." Well, he could have got offended because all Jesus did was say, "Your son lives." For some people, that wouldn't be enough. They're not confident. They have to have some outward thing to be done in order for them to believe. But if you have to have some outward thing, if you don't have enough faith in the Word, then you're not going to have faith in anything else. You know, Jesus spoke of Moses, and he said of Moses, he said, "Moses wrote about me." You know, if you don't believe what is written, you're not going to believe what is spoken. The written Word of God is not just another book. Amen? It's not some ideas that a group of men got together and said, "Let's make these up." I guarantee you that Natural men do not think how the Word of God is written. But there are 66 books, approximately 40 different authors that cover a span of 1,500 years, and they all point to Jesus. Do you realize that the Word of God is God's love letter to you? It is your testimony. It is, He includes you into His will. It is His last will and testament. It gives us everything we need to live a successful life here on this earth before we go to be with Him in heaven. The Word of God. Go with me to John chapter 5. This was at the pool of Bethesda. It says, after verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Speaks of the fivefold ministry that bring living water to people. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Say, waiting. How many were there? Great multitude. All right, so a lot of people. Notice they had more faith in the moving of the water than they did anything else. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. How many know that we don't have to wait for the stirring of the water? Amen? We can put our faith in Christ for healing anytime that we need. We don't have to wait for the circumstances to be right. We don't have to wait for the wind to be right. We don't have to wait for the weather to be right. But if we just put our faith in Jesus, He'll bring it to pass. Because notice, verse 5, now a certain man who was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Say 38 years. He was sick for 38 years, paralyzed with an infirmity, a weakness. Okay? When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been there in that condition a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Now, isn't it a funny question to see someone who's been sick for a long time says, "Do you want to be made well?" But he's asking him, "What do you believe in? Do you really want to be made well? If so, you don't have to wait for the stirring of the water because I can make it happen right now." Say, faith is now. Faith. Now faith is? Faith is now? Amen? Do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in." See, he didn't really believe yet. His faith was in the natural way of doing things. His faith was in the moving of the water. He needed someone to put him in. "I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said, ooh, that ought to spark some fire right there. Amen? Amen. If God said it, I believe it. That settles it. Say that with me. Say, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That doesn't mean you're never going to get fought. That doesn't mean you're never going to have any, Satan's not just going to say, sometimes you got to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. How do you do that? You lay hold on eternal life. You profess a good confession before many witnesses. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." He didn't even have to do anything with the water. All he had to have was faith in the Word. Don't put your faith in water, put it in the Word. He waited there for 38 years and never could get into the water, but it only took a moment for him to hear the Word. Which would you rather do? If you want to spend 38 years trying to do it your way, you go ahead. But there's an easier way. Just put your faith in the Word. Find out what God said and latch on to that. Amen? And what did that man do? Take up your bed and walk. And immediately, say immediately, the man was made well. He took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. He just obeyed what the word said. You tell me to take up my bed, okay. At that moment, the moment Jesus spoke, faith entered into that man's heart, and he was able to obey what the Lord said. He was able to obey the word. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing what? And those who are true disciples have the word of God abiding in them. See, when the word of God is abiding in you, you will act on it quickly. Amen? When you're abiding in the word and the word is abiding in you, when God speaks, you will act on it quickly. Okay? So, and go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Look at verse 63. He said, Jesus is talking, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words, everybody say the words. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. You know, isn't it interesting how when you're in a place where the word is spoken, something takes place on the inside of you. The word of God, who's the author of the word, is really the Spirit, because holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost and they wrote down what he told them to write. So Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Did you know that the word of God is spiritual food? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of my mouth. Are you living by the word of God today? Are you doing what he said to do? Because that's where our greatest area of effectiveness will be. I want you to go with me to John chapter 12. Okay? John chapter 12. And verse 42. Well, let's back up. And let's back up to verse 37. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. So that just shows that just because miracles do not produce faith. Miracles are great. We expect miracles to happen, but how many know miracles don't occur all the time? Amen? A miracle is like a suddenly. It's an immediately. God is not living. I mean, he can do miracles. Amen? He's a miracle worker. But you know what? We're not to live by miracles. We're to live by faith. Faith puts its trust in the word of God, irregardless of what it sees around it. All hell could be breaking loose in your life, but you could be at peace because the Bible says he'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When you have your mind fixed on the Lord, things can be happening around you, but it will not come near you. It'll not come near your dwelling. Hallelujah. See, we got to live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians says, walk by faith, not by sight. We can't walk by what we see. We can't even walk by what we feel. See, the walk of faith is a steady walk. It doesn't turn to the right or to the left. It's steady. And your eyes are always fixed on Jesus, on the Word of God. So although he had done many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which said, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord is revealed to those who put their faith in the word. Therefore, verse 39, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. Now, I want you to notice something. God is not the cause of their hardness. He allows them to choose to be hard. When the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart, in the actual language it says he allowed his heart to be hardened. God doesn't make hearts hard. He actually softens hearts. He actually he wants to remove the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, one that's pliable. So God is not the cause of the hardness. Amen? People choose to be hard to the gospel. They choose not to do what it says. There are millions and millions of people in this world that have heard the word, but they choose not to do it. They choose not to act on it. Verse 41, these things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Now look at verse 42. This is interesting. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. Let me ask you something. Is believing enough? No, it's not. So those of you that said no, you are correct. If you really believed the word is true, you will act as if it's true. Notice. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They believed, but they didn't believe enough because that belief did not turn into action. How do you know when you believe something? When you act on it. They believed in the Lord, but they didn't confess him. Why? Because of the fear of man. They didn't want to lose their place in the synagogue. They didn't want to look bad in the Pharisees' eyes. Because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. And that lack of confession, when you believe and don't confess, there's no activity of the power of God operating. You know, the Bible says the demons believe. But do you see a demon changed? No. Because they don't act on the word. They believe in who Jesus is. But you know what? There's more to it than just believing who he is. You've got to believe it so much that it pushes you to action. Faith without works is what? Dead. If you're not acting on the word, that word works means corresponding action. What did that man do who was paralyzed? Jesus said what? Rise, take up your bed, and walk. What did he do? He rose, he picked up his bed, and he started walking. He simply acted on what the Word of God said, and that's what caused the power to be activated that was already there. It was as if his action is like turning on the light. The power's there, it's already wired, the power is available, and all you got to do is flip the switch on. And your acting on the Word turns the switch on. Verse 43, they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Oh my gosh. Are you living your life to please people? You're going to be disappointed because you're not going to stand before people when it's all said and done. You're going to stand before the Lord God, you and him, and you're going to have a heart-to-heart talk, and he's going to ask you, did you do what I told you to do? Did you obey my word? Did you follow me? You know, when Jesus walked along the shore and he told Peter and Andrew, he said, come follow me. What'd they do? They dropped their nets. They canceled their appointments. They actually left their nets there. And what? They followed Jesus. They acted on that word. That simple action. Sometimes your action could be as simple as speaking what God said. Joshua and Caleb, we are well able to take the land. That was the action that they took. What happened? God's power came on them, and they were the only ones who could enter in. Everyone else who spoke a negative word was not allowed to come into the promised land. Simple acting on the word of God. When you do what the word says, be ye not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. It is the doing of the word that the blessing comes. It is the doing of the word that the power is manifested. It is in the doing of the word that causes things to be changed and affects our region. We've got to do the word. Amen? You know, we have an opportunity. We can take every sermon that is preached here, except for guest speakers, because sometimes I don't know what they're going to say, but every sermon that I preach, you can take it home and you can study. You can go online, you can listen to it. You know, the Bible says, study to show yourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you are not a student of the word, you might divide it wrong or incorrect. Amen? So, what do we see from these examples? We saw people that when Jesus spoke, they simply did what he said. And when they did what they said, what he said, they had tremendous results. Amen? Water to wine, overcoming paralysis, you know, just in different things in every area of life. You know, God, the Bible doesn't leave an area of life out. You want to be a good husband? Find out what the Word says about being a husband. You want to be a good parent? Find out what the Word says about that. You want to be a good employee? Find out what the Word says about being an employee. You want to be a good boss? Find out what the Word says. You want to be rich? Find out what the Word says about being rich. The Word doesn't talk about being rich. Oh, yeah? Abraham was very rich, Genesis chapter 13. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Beloved, I wish above all things, 3 John 2, that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What is my point? When you do what he says to you to do, and you do it, you will have great success. How many think Joshua was successful? He defeated 33 kings. He took the promised land and he divided the inheritance. You know what God told Joshua when Moses died? He said, Moses, my servant is dead, now arise. You got to get over the past, amen? And you got to get a fresh word for today. And the word that God spoke to Joshua was to, this book of the law shall not depart of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you might observe to do according to all that is written therein, then, everybody say then, you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. But what did he have to do first? He had to speak the word continually. He had to meditate in the word. He had to observe to do according to all that was written therein, then. If you did all that first, then success is guaranteed. Amen? God wants you successful. Amen? But all we got to do is just what he said to do. Start off in the little things. Tomorrow when you wake up, say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Some of us already have a routine. Well, how should I handle this? What attitude should I have here, Lord? What should I say to this person? Do you think the Lord will help you? Absolutely. And you will be blessed when you just simply do what he said to do. Amen? Father, right now, we just give you thanks and praise for your precious word. Oh, Lord, we honor your word. And Father, we make a decision in our heart right now that we're going to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. We're going to take action because that's the true sign of belief, is the action that you take. So, Father, we just give you thanks and praise. And if there's anybody here right now that you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you something were to happen to you today and you're not sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would spend eternity in heaven, I want to give you an opportunity to meet my friend and my Lord Jesus, who loves you, who cares for you, who died for you. And if you're here today and you need to be born again, you need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Lord. I just want you to put your hand up. Is there anybody here that needs to be born again? I don't see any hands. So I'm excited that everybody's born again here. But maybe you just want to go further with God. You know, the only thing that limits us from having what God wants us to have is us. And I want you to say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I commit in my heart today to listen to your word, and only your word will I act on. I will not be led by my feelings. I will be led by your word, and your Holy Spirit will bring me into all truth. I trust your word completely, and whatever you say, I will do it with all my heart, with all my soul, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. I hope that blesses you today. And the more we see people do the word, the greater things God will do in our midst. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome and a wonderful day.